Joining me on the telephone is Saskatoon person that I've known for quite a few years. He's a former Saskatoon Blades goaltender, played in the Western Hockey League, played in the NHL and overseas in the Continental Hockey League, and now is doing a lot of good. He and his wife, Rebecca, with regards to the war in Ukraine, helping refugees make their way out of the war-torn area and make their way into Canada or to wherever they need to go, but specifically Canada, I'd have to think. Michael Garnett joins me on the phone. And Michael, what are you doing right now and where are you at with the whole idea of helping people to get away from that disaster that is going on over in the Ukraine?
Well, like you said, my wife and I, we have a registered Canadian charity that we're helping people with transportation from Europe to safety here in Canada. And it's been an incredibly successful program. And we've managed to bring over to date 256 people. And it's rocking and rolling right now. As I like to say, it's a steady pipeline of people that are needing to get away. It's just a horrible situation over there. And even more so, there's such a bad situation in Europe in the refugee camps and just with the economy in general that there's just a really big need to physically fly these people over to Canada.
Michael, I'm Ukrainian descent. My family emigrated to Canada back in the early 1900s from the Western region of Ukraine, so not really where the war is happening more so than anything else. But what made you want to get involved like this?
Well, like you alluded to, I played 10 years over in the Continental Hockey League, and that was mostly in Russia. So I've been over there. I've learned the language. I've been very much involved in that part of the world. And my family is like you. They're from Western Ukraine. I did the genealogy online, and three-quarters of my blood came back from the Lviv area. Mm-hmm. So when this war started, I was just absolutely distraught and, felt sick to my stomach that the country that I had lived in and loved so much had now attacked kind of my ancestral homeland. And it was like a visceral reaction. I had to get involved.
You've gotten involved. Like you say, you've brought 256 people over. It's kind of gone in stops and starts. And you're starting up again, and I'm sure you're happy about that after having undergone a little bit of a hiccup, shall I say, a couple of months back.
Yeah, we had a program that was operated by some airline staff that were donating some of their benefits, and the airline had some concerns with that, and they weren't completely comfortable with how we were operating, and those have since been addressed. They're very much cooperating with us now. We're getting deep discounts to bring these people over. And our commitment to the people that are supporting us and our donors is that we are finding the most economical ways to get them over here. So we are up and running now since that previous program was halted. We've brought over 59 people, and we have another four booked coming in the next couple weeks. So we're very much up and rolling again. The demand has not slowed, and we're excited about the future. Every family we bring over is just somebody that's life has changed forever, just like you and me, whose families came over 100 years ago.
Now, your endeavor is doing is independent of what some other groups are doing. Like the government of Saskatchewan, for instance, has a partnership, and they're flying people from Europe into Regina. There have been three plane loads already. Your situation has nothing to do with what they are doing. You are doing something a little different, and you also require help with people trying to help. You're looking for donations from people to help make this happen, to make sure that everybody can find their way out that needs to get out and make their way to a new life here in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. There are government organizations that are bringing people over. The last time I checked, the federal government had brought over a total of 900. And, we're very proud. It's basically like we're a handful of people, and we've brought over almost a third of that on our own. So the efficiency of our operation is something we're incredibly proud of. We are independent of the government. We do have a partner in Poland. They're called Transport Assister, and they're just an incredible organization that are facilitating travel through Europe and helping people get out of Ukraine that we work with. But, you know, people are finding that there's just such a dramatic need, and the cost involved in flying across the ocean is just unbearable for these refugees. And, you know, we're just trying to help them out because we know that they are loving people here in Canada that are going to host them and help them out. And we want to get them, you know, over here to safety.
Can you give me an idea, Michael, of what the average cost per person is that you're able to get in order to bring them across?
Well, right now that ranges. We are getting big discounts from airlines at this point, and I would say on average we're paying about 350 Canadian per person to get people over. The flight options over the winter have started to slow down just with the European travel season from Canada not being really over the winter months. So, you know, the frequency that we're going to be able to get people will probably decline a little bit and the prices will go up, but that doesn't mean the need's still not there. So there's definitely an urgency, and you know, every family we get, they're just so incredibly thankful for the generosity of the people of Canada and, you know, Saskatchewan especially. We've had a ton of support from there.
Michael, you and your wife, Rebecca, were right on the front lines helping people initially when the war first broke out back in February and March. The contacts you were able to make while helping out people help you to be able to do this sort of a thing, did it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Being over there, you know, we were on the border in Poland. We had a, you know, 9-passenger van. We went and got registered with the local authorities, and we were just helping out, driving people to shelters, train stations right from the border when they would walk across. And, you know, we met a ton of people that are just wonderful and incredible. And through this whole journey, just we've met an incredible assortment of people that are just giving. And, you know, those contacts have really, really helped us. The other thing, too, is in May, we did go into Ukraine and we were inside. We were supplying humanitarian aid centers, orphanages, and, you know, just helping out anywhere we could. So for us, having been in there and being able to, you know, hear an air raid siren and look up at the sky and you know, see the fear on people's faces has really given us a unique perspective where, you know, we can talk to these people with empathy and be able to, you know, help them out and get them where they need to go.
I can't imagine. Was it scary for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were in Lviv, and it's in western Ukraine, but it has been hit with airstrikes on multiple occasions. We were walking to go for dinner, and we were in a park kind of overlooking the old town, and all of a sudden we heard them go off. And, you know, you kind of make eye contact with everyone that's around you, and you look up at the sky, and at that point, you kind of wonder, like, hey, could this be it? And you don't know, and it kind of becomes normal after a day or two. But yeah, looking back on it, it's traumatizing, and you know, we weren't anywhere near the actual fighting, but you know, being able to look at the Ukrainians' eyes when they, you know, come to the airport and we greet them, it's a bond that we can share and something that, you know, they trust us for having done.
So Garni, you have a registered charity in order to make this happen, bringing Ukrainian refugees over to Canada. What's the name of the charity, and how do people get involved there that need to come away, and how do people then make donations as well? Let's get the business side of this so that people understand what can and can't be done here.
Yeah, so our charity is called Help from Canada. If you're listening to this right now, pull over. Punch it in your phone, look at it later, helpfromcanada.org. We have all our information on there. One thing that's really important is my wife and I, we are doing this. We are paying for all the administration costs ourselves. We are donors. We are volunteering our time. We have no paid employees, and 100% of the money goes directly to the cause. So that is something we're incredibly proud of and something that we really want to stress. So that's where you go, helpfromcanada.org, and any amount can go a long way, and it doesn't have to be an entire ticket. Just, you know, anything you can spare will help these people who are literally fleeing for their lives.
Is there a tax receipt for people that make donations in this case, or no?
Absolutely, yeah. We are a registered charity.
That's right.
There will be a tax receipt issued immediately upon donation, 100% tax deductible, and you know, that can be from a corporation, from your business, or from personal. It'll get issued automatically. So, you know, especially as the winter comes now and it's getting cold over there, we're seeing more and more people that are requesting to come over, and they have their QWOT visas. They're official with the Government of Canada, and, you know, we'll get them over here as soon as we possibly can. But any little bit will help.
And for the benefit of the people who are thinking of donating and maybe need a little bit more of a push, how exactly does a refugee get in contact with you and get onto a flight that brings them to Canada?
Well, we have a web form on our website where they can contact us. We ask for all kinds of information, including their QWOT visa,
right,
their passport information, where they need to go, the host family that's going to be meeting them. But mostly we're getting our the cases that are applying to us through a partner in Poland. They're a nonprofit in Poland called Transport a Sister, and they're very active on Facebook. They're a wonderful group of people, not only bringing people to Canada, but to, you know, Europe, Western Europe, United States, UK. So that's how the majority of the people are getting in contact with us, and we really, really trust that organization, and they've done incredible work for us.
Anything else you wanted to add, Michael?
Just like say hi to the Blades and the Blades fans back in Saskatoon. I miss Sask Place. I'm not sure what it's called now, but I get back there to see my parents all the time and drive by, and they, you know, those are some of the best years of my life. So thank you to everyone that was part of that, you know, junior hockey days.
SaskTel Center, it's called now, and if ever you're around in the wintertime, you got to pop on in for a game and come upstairs and say hi. But, Michael, I thank you so much for the time. God bless you and Rebecca for what you're doing to help our homeland people make their way out of there, out of the war-torn areas, and find some new ground, some new starts here in Canada. It warms an old man's heart like myself to see you doing that, and we wish you and Rebecca all the best with your endeavor.
Well, thank you so much, Les. And one last time, people, helpfromcanada.org will do you proud. We'll get people over there. A lot of people come to Saskatchewan. And thank you again so much.
Good stuff.